The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. All right. We are going to do something quickly. Let me just exhaust for like 10, 15 minutes. And then, well, as part of the prayer, we'll just continue our exhortation. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay. Let me first explain something to us again. Quickly open your book, your Bible to the book of Matthew. Just something I want to bring out, which we just have to keep explaining so that people will get it. This is a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was explaining something here. I want to just emphasize something to us again from verse 1. Matthew chapter 6 said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, so as to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. That is, anything you do so that men will see you doing them does not bring you any reward." In verse 2, it says, "When therefore you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you pray," my emphasis now, verse 5, "you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." I like the way King James emphasizes it there, that he will reward you openly. Do you understand that? Alright, that's what I just want to bring out to us quickly. Okay? Alright, King James says that your Father shall reward thee openly. What I just want to bring out here is the issue of when you pray and the Lord was speaking about reward or being repaid. I've said something before, and I think I have it in one or two of our books. I said that if you ask God for something and he gives it to you, that's not a reward. Is that a reward? That's an answer. That's not a reward. You can't, if I go and ask God, "Please God, give me 25 naira," and he gives me 25 naira, that's not a reward. That's what? An answer. Alright? Now, so when he's talking about reward, what he's saying is that, let me just summarize it. If you see, he was talking first there about people who practice their righteousness before men. So he said there are those who give, and they give and make noise about it, make a lot of noise about it. And he said, don't be like that. If you do your giving properly, he said, you will have your reward. Now, he now said that when you pray, now, this is what I'm bringing out here. You see that the prayer he was talking about was not prayer that you prayed for yourself. He was talking about as if you are giving out something. Do you follow what I'm saying? He was talking initially about giving out money. The next thing he now talked about giving out prayer. I hope you are getting what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
So, if you see that there's a kind of prayer, that's what's bringing out here, in which you are not asking anything for yourself, but it's like you are giving out the prayer. It's just like money. You give out money. If you did a display of it, he said you don't get any reward with God. In the same manner, he said, if you are praying and you display the prayer, then you have no reward. It shows you something. I said that the answer to prayer is not a reward. Do you follow my point? But what he's describing is a kind of prayer in which you are not praying for yourself. You are not asking for yourself. And that's why you see, later on, I'm not going to discuss that now. Actually, what he was explaining is talking about praying for the coming of the kingdom of God. No Pharisee. He was talking about Pharisees. They will not come openly and be shouting and praying for the new wife they want to marry. That's not what they are going to do. Do you follow my point? What they used to pray, that they stand, I would say they love to stand and pray in the synagogues on the street corners, is when they are praying for the restoration of the kingdom, all right? They are praying as if they have a passion for Israel. And that's what the Bible is talking about here. And Jesus said that when you pray like that, and you are making an open show about it, you don't get anything. But that's not what I want to emphasize. What I want to emphasize is the fact that there's a kind of prayer that you pray, and God says there is a reward attached to that prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? And let me explain something to us again. You know, I was telling, my wife and I were discussing again over the weekend, and she was asked, was it over the weekend? Yes, after Saturday that I preached about spiritualism and spirituality again. If you're not around, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I said something. She told me, this was on Sunday evening, gave me an illustration of something that somebody said, and she said, is that spirituality or spiritualism? I said, that's spiritualism. And I said to you that I realized, okay, she was what I was telling. I now understand why those days, the faith message, you know, those of you who know much about it, they were criticized extensively for practicing either mind over matter or Christian science or different things like that. And now that I have more understanding, over the years I've studied and I have meditated and I've observed these things, I think those who criticized the faith message then, they were right to a large extent. Do you get my point? Or to an extent, they were right. They were right because some of the people who taught faith, they didn't know when they left spirituality and went into spiritualism. Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. Please, this is what Christianity is. This is spirituality. The impression we have is that we never can get anything from God except we are asked for it. Do you get my point? Listen, let me say something. There are two ways God pours things into your life. One, or at least two, among the many ways they possibly are. Let me bring out two. One, when you ask him directly for something. All right? And then number two, there are things you don't ask for, but you do certain things in life, and the consequence, the natural consequence, the reward that God pours forth upon such actions is that thing that you are not going to get. Let me explain. When Solomon prayed, he did not pray for wealth. He did not pray for riches. He did not pray for the life of his enemy. He did not pray for long life. And even God Almighty remarked it that he didn't ask for those things. But what did he say? I will give them to you. What was he saying there? As a reward for praying the right kind of prayer. Let me say this to you again, if it interests you. When you spend all night praying about your problems, you won't get much from God. Did you hear what I said? Most of the things you need in life, you don't know you need them. I'm telling you. There are vitamins you are lacking right now. You don't know you lack those vitamins. I'm telling you, many years ago, in fact, let me just give an example. In Asia, just to make it real, vitamin deficiency. You know the way you eat rice anyhow, all right? In the times of difficulty, all right, there are things that only rich people eat. Rice is one of those things in those countries, all right? You have to be rich to eat rice all the time. Are you following what I'm saying? Except that when you eat rice all the time, you become deficient in some crucial vitamins. So you find rich people with sick children, because they are always eating rice, and they now become deficient in vitamin B1. All right, you've heard of they tell you those days, beriberi. You've heard of, if you did biology, all right. These are vitamin deficiencies, and until science advanced to the level to explain it to them, until Western science came and said, look, the problem is that what you say is rich man's food is what is causing this problem. You need to eat other things. I'm bringing an issue here. They had money, so they ate the food that made them sick. What am I saying? A lot of things you need in life, you don't even know you need them. Those who needed vitamin B, a certain type of vitamin B, they didn't have it, even though they had money. That is, if they had to ask God, give me something, one thing they would never have asked him for was vitamin B1. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't understand. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
thank you. Now, this is what I'm making. A lot of things you need in life, you don't know you need them. There are those who are praying unnecessary prayers, and we do that a lot. That's the habit of Christians, especially those who pray a lot without reading the Bible. Listen, anybody you see that's always praying, without studying the Bible or listening to the Word of God more than he's praying wrongly. Half of those prayers, they don't get effect. Let me say it again. It borders on spiritualism. Some of the things we practice in Christianity, especially Pentecostalism, is pure spiritualism. You wake up in the morning and confess 25 times, you are slipping away from spirituality into spiritualism. You are trying to control things in life just by all these repetitions. Jesus called them vain repetitions. Pentecostals are good at vain repetitions that they call confession. There's a fine line, though. Please, don't get me wrong. There's a very fine line separating one from the other. Two of them look very much alike. A Christian should confess the word of God, but shouldn't spend all his time confessing. In Jesus' name, I have a blue curtain. In Jesus' name, I have a blue curtain. In Jesus' name, I have a new house. In Jesus' name, I have a new house. That one is spiritualism. It's not spirituality. We should learn to confess that indeed my life is in God's hands and I have all that I need to meet all my needs. Alright? At every point in time. Say that one and leave it there. By the time you start dancing around a particular land, say, in Jesus' name I receive it. In Jesus' name I receive it. That one is no longer spirituality. Israel never went around jumping around. In Jesus' name I receive. The God said, come, there is a land I promised to your fathers. And he led them there. Now I'm bringing an issue about prayer. If we do the right things, many things will be poured into our lives without our ever asking for them. It was never a prayer point for Solomon that he would be the richest king that the world ever saw. It was never a prayer point. God came and said, let me give you anything you will ask for. Now go ahead, exercise yourself, think. What do you want? He asked what was simple. But because he had his mind, I thought about it then in spiritual economy, what I call the king's heart. Because he had his mind on the assignment of God for his life. Because he had his mind on the love that he had for the nation of Israel. Because he wanted to exercise the office of a king fruitfully. God said, no, now, because of that, he asked for one thing, wisdom. And God said, because you did not ask for other things, therefore I will give them to you. What does that tell you? Most of the good things in life that you will get will not come to you because you asked for them. They will come to you because you did what was pleasing in the sight of God. Are you getting my point? When God gave the Shunammite woman a son, the woman was not even interested. But because she showed love and honor to the prophet of God, because of that, God gave her a son that she did not ask for. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Now let's not leave the matter of prayer. Therefore, I said before that on Saturday we talked about sowing seed into the realm of the spirit. I reminded us that good works is what? Seed into the realm of the spirit. And from there, we will now reap certain kinds of harvest. There are different false fields in life. And one of those good works that we do is a matter of praying prayers that are not for ourselves. Are you getting my point? Are you following what I'm saying? That's why Jesus said there is prayer with what? Reward. That if you shout the prayer as to impress people, you don't get anything. But if you pray that kind of prayer, all right, alone, in your closet, which shows that you're not doing it for the reward. You're not doing it because you want to get anything. You are doing it because of the love that you have, all right, for somebody, for the nation, for the work of God, for the church of Christ, all right, for the body of believers on the earth. God, because of that, he will give you something you did not ask for. And I said today we'll pray for the country, all right? And I want to explain it. You see, there's nothing you do in obedience to the word of God that does not have a reward attached. The problem, let me say it again, because I've said it several times before. The problem with a lot of us is that we don't realize that we cannot dictate which reward. Are you getting my point? And I like to say this in and say so that everybody will believe it. You cannot wake up and say, I am going to pray this prayer. Pastor Banky said that if I pray a prayer for the nation, God is going to bless me. So now, let me start praying this prayer for the nation that God can remember to bless me with the kind of job I like. God said, no, that kind of prayer that you're praying for the country, I'm going to attach it to long life. You follow what I'm saying? And you won't know. Let me say it again. I said this one again before. The key to the release of God's power is what? The continual, God bless you, the continual doing of good works. The Bible says, sow your seed in the morning, and at night, don't get tired of praying. Now, you know, I keep on modifying the words so that we can get the meaning. So at night, don't withhold your hands, because you don't know which one will prosper. What I'm trying to make out here is this. You are sowing seeds towards long life. You don't know which seed is that for long life. Just parking, sounds funny, just parking properly without obstructing the movement of everybody else can be the seed for prosperity that you're asking for. But after you have used your car to block a whole street and disturb everybody else's movement, you now come to church and sow a seed towards prosperity. Because they look at this boy. His car is obstructing other people's movement. And he knows. And he says, let them wait till I finish what I'm doing. Then he's sowing a seed towards prosperity. Are you getting my point? Listen, Christians, don't ever forget. I said that on Saturday. It is still fundamental to Christianity for us to do good works. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? It is still what? Fundamental to Christianity. Now let's sit on the matter of prayer. Therefore, what Jesus was teaching us here is this. When we are praying, alright, and the focus of the prayer is not what I will eat, incidentally, I don't think Jesus expects us to spend much time. In fact, very little time he expects us to spend on those things. Quickly dispense of them if they come to your heart. Pray about them in one line. Give God thanks for it and forget. There are things that you should spend your energy on. And we're going to take one of them again today. Alright? Like praying for a country. When you spend your energy on that, God says, I will reward you. With which reward you may not know, but that there will be a reward is most certain. Do you get the point? So when you rise up in the morning, or when you go to church, if you go to the church where they do a lot of all-night vigils, if you go for the first vigil, it's prayer for your protection. The second vigil is prayer for prosperity. The third vigil is prayer for your long life. The fourth vigil is prayer against those who don't like you. Don't go for the fifth one. You have wasted enough time. Okay, you don't need, you see those things, you can pray them in 5 minutes. 1 minute for blessing, second 1 minute for protection. I mean, we have these prayers we read, you understand? Our divine incantations. Just use that one. You don't need to go for all night prayer to pray about your enemies. That is not necessary. Just get a copy of our divine incantations and recite them in the morning. It's the word of God. And that takes care of all of those things. But what you spend all night praying are things that generally don't concern. Now, I don't mean they don't concern you at all. It's not about you as a person. A friend is sick. You take time to pray for the person. A nation is in trouble. You take time. I mean, you think Lord Jonathan is sleeping well? The moment Umar Musa Yar'Adua traveled that time to Saudi Arabia for treatment. That was the last good night's sleep that Brother Johnny had. After that, it's turmoil. You think it is? It's not an easy thing. I was reading about yesterday that Obasanjo and Danjuma are disagreeing on who should be vice president. And there's somebody in the center. His name is Goodluck Jonathan. You think it's an easy thing? I was watching on Heart Talk, BBC. What is our brother's name? Nuhu Ribadu was being interviewed on BBC. And he described all the travails of his soul. After they shot at him twice, he ran away from the country. Described how a man gave him $15 million in cash. So he was all pursuing him. The same man is now coming back home that our late president, who we punished very well, alright, after he has died, alright, the man now wants to return. You think it's an easy deal? Jonathan is sitting in the center of all of this. Oh boy, it's not easy. You turn like this, Obaz go vex. And if Obaz vexes, you know, life is not easy for you again. You turn like this, Tiwa Danjuma and Co, we think you're not listening to us. That Nuhu Ribadu is coming back. There are many people that have become enemies to good Lord Jonathan. Just that the idea that a man called Nuhu Ribadu is coming back to the country. Listen, you want God's blessings? I'll tell you how to get it. Take a night and say this evening, before dinner, or the whole night if you can, it's good. I will pray for good Lord Jonathan. You know, Samuel said, God forbid, he said it to Saul, he said it to Israel, God forbid I should sin against him in not praying for you. For us to pray certain prayers, it becomes a matter of iniquity as far as God is concerned. It's very easy to buy a newspaper and say, what is wrong with this man? Is he stupid? Anytime my friends are now analyzing, you know, the late president, Yar'Adua, I'm a doctor, right? I know he would have lived much longer if he didn't take that job. Or the man began to feel ill if he had resigned. But every time we are saying it, we always add something that is not as easy as that. When you enter certain positions, you are not in position for yourself alone. You can't just wake up and resign, even if you are sick. Especially in Nigeria. No, it's not easy. It's not easy. I remember those days, you know, when Abacha was after he died, and people were persecuting Antoniani. How many of you remember Antoniani? Alright? They said the man took $5 million from Abacha. That why should he take it? He's an accountant. I said, all of you should shut up. You now go and become minister under Abacha. Let him give you money. Don't take it. The man didn't spend the money. When the man died, he brought the money out. This is the money. They just say, hey, why should he take it? I'm not saying you should take it. That's just so. But I'm saying you that say, don't take it. You go and become minister first. Let a wicked soul like Abacha give you money. Don't take it. You don't know what they're telling him. He said, oh, guy, you're wicked. I won't take your money. And the man said, let me show you wickedness. Now, I'm trying to make an issue here. It's easy to sit there at home, point a finger, and start talking. You know, when I read the news on 234 next, Then the man they have comments at the bottom. And now they agree with those comments. Because they are very annoying. But after they analyze one, everybody will be talking the rubbish in their mouth. People who have never been under pressure to make the decisions for 1 million naira, they are telling you what the president should do with $1 billion. Sabe, get away. You don't know what is going on. What am I saying? What's the duty of a believer? Instead of just sitting down and commenting, I say, when you get home today, or even from now, you will raise your voice and pray for the current president. According to, what's her name? Mama Information Minister. Dora, she likes to call it fool. Good luck, Ebele Jonathan. I see so that you won't be in doubt concerning which good luck we are talking about. Because there are so many good lucks now all over the country. Many people are being born now with the name combined already. Good luck, Jonathan. That is, as they born like this. Good luck, Jonathan. So the woman makes sure you don't make a mistake. Our president, good luck, Ebele Jonathan. No, we need to take time out and pray. Jonathan is just sitting down. Say, let him run in 2011. Let him not run in 2011. No. The Bible is very clear. It's our responsibility. I'm emphasizing something here. That is what God looks at and gives you things that you did not ask for. You can only ask for what you know you need. Most of the things you ask for are the things you want, not the things you need. Do you get my point? It's only when a need has become, you have become aware of it, that it becomes a want. According to Mike Murdock, men don't reach for what they need, they only reach for what they want. And my own explanation is that they are not aware of their needs. But God is the one that supplies your needs according to his riches. And that's what Paul said. Paul was not saying, ask God for it. He said, because you have exercised yourself in giving towards the sponsorship of this ministry, therefore, my God shall supply all your needs. Not what you want. Many things you need in life, you don't want them. There are those who need discipline. They don't want it. Every child needs discipline. He doesn't want it. But when you are walking in a manner pleasing to God, he gives you that which you don't realize you need, but indeed that you need. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, one of the things we do, therefore, I'm emphasizing again, is when we make prayers and supplications, not for ourselves, but for other people, for a nation, do you get my point? For a group of people, for a church, for the body of Christ on the earth. There are times, you know, it's very easy to sit down and abuse all the preachers who are always going around squeezing people for their money, you know. You don't talk to him before. Don't mind all these preachers. It's a simple prayer you can pray. You can pray, dear Lord, and listen, let me add another one to it. I've said it before anyway. I just need to keep saying that we'll never forget. Prayer has doses. Do you hear what I said? They have measures. If God says, I need 100,000 doses of prayer to solve this problem, each time you open your mouth, it may be 5 doses you are putting in. And it accumulates until it is full, and God releases the fullness of his manifestation to solve that issue. What I'm saying is that instead of just commenting and commenting, don't ever forget. Remember once some of my friends, we sat down and analyzed this issue of the body of Christ, the teaching and all of that was going on, that were not right. Then before we were about to say, okay, bye-bye, we'll see later. I said, we can't go. We cannot go like that. We're about 4 or 5. After everything we have discussed, let us finish it properly. We now stood there, and for the next 15 minutes, we were praying for the body of Christ concerning wrong doctrine. Concerning, we specifically asked, there are those who are in ministry because of wickedness. You understand my wickedness? They know what they are preaching is wrong. They don't care that it's wrong. They will continue as long as God gives them a door, all right, to say that which is wrong because it's producing money for them. So we ask simply that such men, Lord, shut them up. It's a very powerful prayer. Confuse their movement. Close doors that were open to them. There are those who don't know that what they are doing is wrong. For such people, we pray the simple prayer. Say, Lord, give them understanding that they may repent from these things that they are doing. And there are those who are speaking the truth, and they don't have the avenue, all right, to shout it loud. So we pray. Say, God, give them platforms. Those who will speak the truth in love, those who will speak the pure word of God, open doors for them that they might broadcast this word for many people to hear. Simple prayers. 15 minutes, we're done. And one thing I know for sure is that God heard. And he added it. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? That's what it means to pray a prayer that has reward. So today, I said I was going to talk for a few minutes. Well, it's been a few minutes now. So what we're going to do today, like I told us last time, is that we are going to lift up our voice and pray for our country, especially at this time. It's you know, anytime you see something happen in the realm of the physically, something happened first in the spiritual realm. Alright? And physical things give you an indication of what is going on. And something happened recently. I won't give you details, but please listen to this. Which it encouraged me actually. There was something that was in my heart, actually concerning, okay, let me give you a bit of details. I said it all the time that this is one thing my boss, where I work, I won't tell you whether it's the university or the hospital, alright, can do. And he will never be forgotten. And I kept on saying that thing. Now, listen to me. I kept on saying it. Every time I would discuss with people, I said, this is one thing this man can do. And I said, oh, if God will just open a door so that I will give him this counsel. Do you understand my point? Now, I kept on saying that. I've been saying it for months. Then, I was in the man's office yesterday. Anyway, he said, okay, I asked whether I would be in the office on Monday. He said, yes. So, Monday I got to his office. He wasn't there yet. I went to my office. I told somebody to keep checking. When they came, they called me that our guy's in the office. Then, let me make it long story short. A little delay here and there. There's another person, another senior colleague wanted to see him. And me, we now entered the office at the same time with another young man. In the course of this, I heard the other young man give a report on something to the big boss. That's why I asked him that, what are you talking about? He told me. I kept on asking him questions. Now listen to this. Everything I've been saying for months, that if he can do like this, if he do like this, this will work like this, it will be so perfect. I didn't know that the man was doing it. I don't know how to get my point. And the young man who worked with my senior colleague into the office at the same time with me was given a report on how far they had gone. So the guy and I began to chat. I was asking him, okay, are you doing like this? Yes. How will you handle this matter? So like, what if you do it like this? I said, okay, I'll consider that. I said, don't forget, I told you that that's a possible way to do it. He said, okay, I'll remember it when we're going to the next step. He and I talked for a long time. When I left the place, something came to my heart. Now, I'm not saying this is what happened though. Are you getting my point? But I just realized that. Now, this is possibly what happened, but I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm not going to brag, hey, spiritual man, see, I was just commanding. As I was commanding, he was hearing. That was not what happened. Do you get my point? I was not commanding anything. I was wishing. I was talking. No, man. But something came to my mind. And this spiritual things actually work like that. It is possible. Because the Bible says something that, be careful what you say in secret place, that the bird of the air will take it and go and whisper it in the ear of the ruler. Are you following my point? So maybe it was the intercession of my heart, I don't know, but it's possible. But that taught me something. Don't ever assume that nothing is going on. If people keep on telling you, this country is dead, don't believe them. Many things you are wishing for are currently being engineered. And if you open your mouth and start saying, this country is dead, those things start dying. I said something then, when Obasanjo said that, by the end of which year did he say? Either 2002 or 2003, whatever, we'll have another 6,000 megawatts and power will not fill in Nigeria again and all of that. People say, And we'll push the announcement. I use you. Forget it now. It can happen in this country. It cannot happen. And then the year came, ended. And did it happen? No. What did they say? We said so. Meanwhile, the devil was rejoicing. Dancing. Yes, they said so. Because they said so, it didn't happen. If they didn't say so, it will have happened. But thank you all for agreeing with me that nothing good will happen to you. Thank you all for agreeing with me. And the devil was dancing and rejoicing. That look at these people. They keep on saying, we said so. Not knowing that we said so is the reason why it was so according to what they said. God said, as I hear you say in my ears, exactly what I will do to you. Are you getting my point? Yeah. Therefore, one day, just to add to it, one day one of my students, very smart boy, entered my office to come and see me about something. I kicked him out of there. I told him, get out of my sight. You know why? Because he opened his mouth in my presence and said, Nigeria cannot experience uninterrupted power failure. And I asked him, why not? He said, his father works in Nepal. In my mind, your father is among those who make sure it's not possible anyway. We'll soon sack him. Yes, when we sack him, we will do it. He said, sir, minimum wage is only 7,000 naira. I said, you are very stupid. Did they say maximum wage? What did they say? What did they say? What did they say? Minimum.
minimum. I said, what's wrong with this boy? He said, get up, out of my office now. I kick the boy out. Because when you keep talking like that, it don't have. Look, listen, just by the way, that's what they said, this is that Nigerian cannot do GSM, we can't handle GSM. You know what we have done to GSM? You know what we have done to mobile telephone? We use the phone, so they, we use the phone, so they, those who refuse to invest, we're now begging to come in. At the beginning, they said, nah, lie, we're not fit. Then when they saw MTN using truck to carry money, both in Naira and in dollar, back to South Africa. Now, please, I hope you know what I'm saying. Don't use your mouth to add to the amount of negative forces in the atmosphere. Go and get this CD if you don't have it. Generating spiritual energy for the redemption of a nation. I taught it on radio then. Please go and get a CD. Are you getting my point? The more you see negative things, the more you pray and confess positive things. Do you get what I'm saying? The more you see things that are wrong, it's not time for you to say, this country is useless. No. It is time for you to start speaking. I'm bringing an issue here. Without you speaking thus, God won't do anything. No. Your children will be born into this trouble. Where will they go? Who wants to give birth for calamity to children that will live in calamity? Nobody. Listen. Yoruba man has to say, if you want the ground to be cool in front, you pour water forward. So if you don't want children, your children to be born struggling with NEPA failure, no water, school going on strike every so often. If you don't want it, it is now you will decide that it will not happen. Listen, if you want to be poor in life, plan to make enough money so as to send your children out of the trouble. That's how you won't make money. There's a reward for everything. When you say, I leave this country, I will become so rich, my children won't go to school. They go, say, fine, that boy, make sure he does it. He will just have enough money, just enough money for the child to go to public secondary school, public university, that he's not going anywhere. But when you're struggling and praying and doing what you can so that everybody can have good education, God will give you so much money that your children can go to school anywhere that you want. That's how spiritual things work. Do you get the point? Did you get my point?
Yes.
All right, the Lord is good. So what are we doing today? For the time that we have left, we are going to pray for the country. All right, let's open our Bibles. We'll read this one and then we'll begin to pray. So that you see, this is a commandment from God. This is how James said it. Sorry, Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, first of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. One, for kings and all who are in authority. He said, this is the end of it. In order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. He said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. A number of points here, there. One, we pray for kings and all those who are in authority. Very importantly, I'm bringing that out from there. And if we do that, we'll be able to lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now, some will say that if the kings do well, we'll be able to live a quiet and tranquil life, and that will be correct. But it's another spiritual application to it. If you pray your prayers, God will bless you with a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. That's one scripture. Again, Jeremiah chapter 29. Quickly open your Bible to that one also. Jeremiah 29 is one that we know very well. We quote it halfway all the time. Let me start from the halfway that we quote it. It said in verse 11, for I know the plans I have towards you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, we say that all the time, and we quote it, and we're always very happy. But actually, it did not start from there. Where it started from is around verse 4. It's before that, but let's start from verse 4. He said, thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, to all the exiles I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and become fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and daughters, and all of that, and all of that. And verse 7 says, and seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will do what? He said in his welfare, you will have welfare. That's New American Standard. If you read another Bible saying it's prosperity, you will prosper. When it has, when the nation has, when that city has peace, then you will have peace. This is what I'm making. Christians also, we often preach this gospel. We preach, it say that darkness will be out in the world, but we'll be living in the light. Do you understand my point? That we are not of this world, so our economy is from heaven. So the whole world can be suffering. It will not affect us at all. There's truth to it, but it's only half truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a lot of truth to that. The Bible says that young lions can suffer hunger and all of that, but those that seek the Lord will not lack anything good. Are you getting my point? However, when God was going to punish Israel, he told Jeremiah, don't ask for anything great for yourself. The only thing I'm going to give you is your life as booty. You will lose your house. You lose your businesses. You lose your investment. The only thing you will leave this place with is what? Your life. See, I will give you your life as a booty. That is, that's the only thing you will take captive. And that was the prophet of God who was walking in righteousness. Are you getting what I'm saying? The reason why God makes sure that the things around touches us is because without that, we won't pray effectively. He said, we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched by with the feelings of our infirmities. That is what you are touched by, you can be a high priest concerning. Are you following my point? Therefore, if there are too many calamities in the nation, it will touch you. Listen. It will. Let me tell you. You pray extra now about kidnapping, don't you? Yes. What I mean is that too, that your people won't be kidnapped. If there's no kidnapping, at least you save some time on prayer on praying about kidnapping. Haven't you? And if a distant relative is kidnapped, it will affect you. You will contribute. The whole family will contribute. Don't be so. That's what we are saying. So when you are praying prayers, don't just think like, I'm a child of God. No, listen, we know you are a child of God. But what God does is that he ensures that you feel a bit of what's going on so that you can pray effectively. So he said concerning the nation of Israel, he said, I'm taking you into a particular land. Pray for the welfare of that city. Are you getting my point? It's a divine commandment. If you do that, you will also prosper. And I said there are two sides to it. One, if you pray and God answers and everybody is moving smoothly, it will affect you. But there's a second side to it. If you pray your own prayer, are you getting my point? You do your own duties and you've done everything that God said you should do. Yet, for certain reasons, because there are times it happens like that. That's what God told Jeremiah. He said, it's enough pray that the way things are bad right now, even if Samuel and Moses were to pray for these people, I still won't hear. However, because Jeremiah had offered his prayer, he had delivered himself from judgment to come. Do you understand the logic? Let me summarize it like this. If you don't pray, good Lord Jonathan won't do well. Amen? As a matter of fact. If you don't, the economy won't do well. Power will not become constant. But don't think that all the thoughts going on in your head, alright, is not going on in the heads of certain people who are in power. They are going on. But the ability to bring them forth into reality is dependent on the amount of power you put into the air to break down the power of darkness. Are you following my point? And to release the goodness of God into the nation. It's important. I hope you got my point. I've talked plenty, haven't I? Therefore, let's begin to pray. All right, let's rise to our feet. We start from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's rise to our feet. Open your Bibles there. Well, you don't have to. I'll just read out to you. First of all, the Bible says, it said, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all those who are in authority. I want us to begin to do something first of all. I told you before, we're going to pray for this country. After that, we're going to pray against some wicked people. Did you hear what I said? I don't know. Some stories I've heard there. Some states around here are held in the bondage of wickedness. But we won't mention names. It's not important. But you are going to do something, all right, as we go on. You are going to actually, literally, we'll bring out a few scriptures. Pray for the deliverance of some states, some communities, including our nation also. And you'll see what I'm saying in a moment. I said something to us last time, men are very wicked. Are you getting my point? They are very wicked. And until you learn to use some dangerous prayers to release people out of wickedness, if I say this, it make you laugh. Well, no, it make you worry about the kind of human being that I am. There are people that are so wicked. The only way God delivers people from their wickedness is by beheading. That is, God will behead the wicked man, that his captives may go free. what I'm saying is very important. Anyway, we'll see some of those things just now. First of all, let's begin to pray. First of all, let's begin to give God thanks. Listen to, let me tell you, no, you are praying. I'm just talking my own talk to guide us as we pray on. First of all, let's start to give God thanks, all right? Nigeria was created by the Lord for a particular purpose. Yes, just say, Father, we thank you. Because you have brought us to this level. There's nothing that's happening in this country that took the Lord by surprise. Nothing, nothing, nothing at all. He knew what was going to happen, and you'll be amazed at what he's doing, guiding this nation into the destiny that he has proposed for it. I like the testimonies of people like Elton. I heard them a long time ago. I like the testimony of people like Rehan Bonnke. They said that this nation, Rehan Bonnke said Nigeria is a trigger, that Africa is shaped like a gun, that Nigeria is located in that trigger point. That the destiny of God for Africa as a nation, as a continent, and the people therein is dependent upon the release in Nigeria. So we are divinely ordained, as a matter of fact. Therefore, let's give the Lord thanks. He has been upholding us. He has been upholding us. That we are here today, unbroken. It's because of the goodness of God. Thank God for all the events that have been going on in this nation. Thank God that you were born in this country. Thank God because he has made you what you are. Not first as a citizen of this nation and as a resident therein. Let us thank you. Say, Father, we thank you. Because we know that you are working. That by faith we understand that the worlds, the nations were framed by the word of God. So that the nation Nigeria that we see now was not made out of people's imagination. People will tell you that no, it's not a nation by God. It was Lord Lugard that created it. It's not true. Because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And whatever decisions that were made concerning the creation of this nation is according to God's order. Therefore, thank God for that. Recognize that and stop uttering the nonsense people will often make us utter. That the northern man, the eastern man, the southern man, they are different people. No, it's not true. If you go to America, there are all kinds of people there. They are the strongest nation on the earth today. Therefore, thank God for what we are right now. As you are praying, don't forget. You are sowing seeds into the realm of the spirit. You are giving the prayer. It's not only when you ask for things that God blesses you. When you do that which he commands, you receive your blessing also. So let's continue to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for this nation. We thank you for all the events that have happened up to this point. We thank you for the life of the immediate past president who died last week. We thank you for his life. We thank you both that both in his life and in his death, you are working out your purpose. We thank you. Thank you for the life of the current president, Goodluck Jonathan. Say, Lord, we thank you because you brought him to this level. His life has been, you know, the story of his life has been told again and again. It's a reason to give thanks. He didn't work to become a governor, he became a governor. He did not even work to become a vice president, he became one. And then without trying anything, he became a president. So thank God for his life. The Bible said you should do come forth praying for these people first with thanksgiving. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, indeed, you reign in this country. Say that, Lord, we thank you because the times and seasons are in your hands. You make kings and you remove kings. Sickness did not remove the last president. God did. I want you to understand that. Sickness did not remove the last president. God did. It is God that set a time limit for his stay. Therefore, thank him that he is working in this nation still. Let's just acknowledge him. Because I want us to know. Listen, friend, just listen, listen. I want us to give thanks for this country again. It's very important. I was making a few statements. Bible makes it very clear. Daniel was explaining. He said, God that raises kings and removes kings. He changes times and seasons. He makes the lowest man, the lowliest of all men, he makes them the rulers in the affairs of men. A God is the one in charge. Our last president was not removed by sickness. It was God that removed him. That's a matter of fact. Babangida left when he left, not because he wanted to leave, but because God said it is time to go. When Abacha said that we stay, God said, stay where? Stay where? He woke up one morning and found out he was dead. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. People can tell you that he chopped apple. It was coconut he chopped. He was sick. Whatever it is, God works in different ways. God said, this time, this man is gone. And to let you know, it's a matter of fact. That time, Dia and Co had been condemned to death, if you remember that. And Tunde Bakare said, if they are not dead by this particular day, they will be saved by an overnight miracle. That was what Tunde Bakare said. He said, you know, he doesn't say his things in secret. He said it openly. He said, this particular day, if these men are not dead by this particular day, then they will be saved by an overnight miracle. And one night they woke up and discovered that the other guy was dead. Are you getting my point? It's a matter of fact, God is orchestrating the events of this earth, you know, of this nation. You now say, okay, how come things are not happening? Listen, you're not the only man in Nigeria. There are a lot of wicked souls. And you too, you were wicked until you repented recently. Amen? So there's a lot of judgment that we are emitting into the air, or we emitted. There's what the Bible calls salt of the earth. Were it not for you and for me, this country will have continued to go down until you have gone down into the dust. As a matter of fact. But because we gather like this to pray, because the Bible says when those that fear the Lord spoke to one another, the Lord heard it. Are you getting my point? Because in the fear of God, we speak to one another. Jesus said we are the salt of the earth. That we are the reason why the nation will not be destroyed. So when God was going to Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, count for me 50 people. If I find them there, I won't destroy the land. Then Abraham prayed until they came down to 10. And God said, if I find 10, I won't destroy the land. And Oswald Chambers said that it's the restricting power of God that made Abraham not go below 10. Not because he was afraid, but because something inside him understood that if he had asked for 5, God would have had to refuse. If he had asked for 9, God would have had to refuse. Oswald Chambers explained that 10 was a critical mass that God needed. And God, I say that God was demonstrating to Abraham that I have come down to destroy the land because they are not even up to 10 people. And it's not as if Abraham was making any discovery. God was doing something, was demonstrating to Abraham his righteousness. I'm reading an issue here. If the 10 people had been found, are you getting my point? They would have called the salt of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of them, God would not have come down to destroy the land. What am I saying? The reason why this land has not been destroyed is because of you and me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, indeed, Nigeria has righteous people therein. But because of the amount of wickedness, because see, there are different kinds of atonement. Alright? The blood of Jesus atoned for all our iniquities. But sometimes the iniquity of a land, all right, there are things that God does so as to wipe them away. I know what I'm saying. I don't have time to explain it. All right? So I'm bringing an issue here. It is not as if God doesn't know what he's doing. He's actually working. Everything that is going on is to bring us up to a particular level. He said, when I want to punish the Egyptian, I give him into the hand of a cruel ruler. One of the reasons why we have had stupid rulers, you know, they think. And their states that still have it, they should stop shouting only about the governor of those states. They should shout about themselves first. Then when you have shouted about yourselves and prayed for mercy upon the land, then God will behead one or two people. Everybody else will behave. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? And it's a matter of fact. Alright? I'm just now to explain something that God is working. That here an amen? Amen. God is working in the land. That here an amen?
Amen.
Indeed, he is working. Don't think that things are just going bad. They would have been worse were it not that God is working. They would have been worse were it not. People say that there are too many churches. I say, remove them, you understand. Remove them. He said, too many churches. The country is still bad. I said, it is still good because of those churches. Although there are many churches that are making it worse, but you know, but there are some good ones. And there are plenty. And just by the way, don't worry about the many churches. Don't worry. Alright? You know one thing that's sure? That's the first place God can preach. When he wants to tell the truth. Whether you like it or not. Look, nobody's going to invite Pastor Banky to the central mosque in Abuja to come and preach. Are you getting what I'm saying? But a wicked soul can start a church, he would invite me. So they are good. Alright? The point I'm just making is that, look, because of the so-called many churches, God is preserving the land. Are you getting my point? Why did I explain all this? So that you, when you are giving thanks, I'll give you around a few minutes to give thanks once more, you will know that indeed God is working in the land. You will know that what? Indeed God is working in the land. And indeed God said, why am I doing all this? Because I know the thoughts I have towards you. They are thoughts for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. To make sure that your children are not born for calamity. Let's give God thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Because indeed you are working. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you have been the one changing season. No man has the power. By the time Abangida left, he was not planning to leave. That's a matter of fact. I don't have to tell you that when Abacha left, he was not planning to leave. And neither do I need to tell you that nobody has left that office now because he wanted to leave. It's because God says it's time, go. Sometimes he says it's 4 years, go. It's 8 years, time to go. And for the last man, he says 3 years, out of the place. So let's give him a name. Say, Father, I know we are walking in the land. We give you thanks, we give you praise. Because indeed you are walking in the land. Blessed be your most holy name. You know, we talk about praise at that time. So let's praise God. Say, God, you are the most high over this nation. You are the most high God. PDP is not God. God is the most high God. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the most high God. Every morning, the Muslims wake up and say, Allah is the greatest. It is not true. Allah is not the greatest. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the greatest. Any God that does not know Jesus as his son is not the true God. Please, before you go, and I want you to do something with me. Amen. Please, can you give me a second? You know, Nigeria is an interesting country. And I believe it's one of those watershed nations that God will use to prove certain issues. Everywhere, all over the nation, Muslims will bring speakers out. 5 a.m., they will declare to us that Allah is the greatest. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It's not true. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, Allah is not the greatest. It's not the greatest. There are different kinds of God, kinds of gods. There is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you claim that Allah doesn't have a son, then he's not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he can't be the greatest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, in Nigeria, Muslims have an attitude. They are like that all over the world. They have this, you know, superior mentality. Like they are better than everybody else. It's a small deal. Don't worry. Don't worry. Let me give you the word of the Lord. I heard this some years ago. There's a prophet many years ago, God spoke to. He said, three things I'm bringing and to an end on this earth. He said, number one is communism. Communism has gone. You know that. Number two on the line is what? Islam. Number three, he said, is witchcraft. I have my interpretation for witchcraft. Incidentally, the witchcraft is not juju in Africa. It's not Haitian voodoo. Are you getting my point? You know what it is? It's church. Some crazy behaviors that we have that we call Christianity. That's what witchcraft is. I won't give you details. There are powerful denominations. God, you look, say, all these witches and wizards. Because I'm bringing all of them to what? An end. So, Allah is not the greatest. You know who the greatest is? God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is praise? Say, praise looks good on you. Praise is comely on the saints. What is praise? When you call God by his proper name. Therefore, let us declare. That's why I said you should pause. Let's do this. Let's declare right now. All of us begin to say, God, you are the greatest. In this nation, you are the greatest. Very simple. You say, God, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, you are the greatest. Say, Lord, you are the greatest. Say, the kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Say, Lord, you are the greatest. You reign above all in this nation. We declare it. We declare it. We declare it. That indeed you reign. Listen to this again. Listen to this again. You know, have you ever heard of one of these words, cult? Cult. Remember this in the cult. This is a matter of fact. There are cults that think they rule this country. I'm not joking about that. You know, our former president that time, Obasanjo, won the Tunde Bakare. This was not somebody told me. I heard it on television. He said, the man said he's born again. Which kind of born again is that? He said, let him come and tell me that he's not a member of Ogboni, and I promise all of you I will never preach again. Whether he's lying or not, it's not the issue. Let him just say it. No, you know, Tunde Bakare, you know, there's one prophet in Nigeria, is that guy. When he's doing Save Nigeria Today, you know, don't worry, that's not prophetic office, that's rascally office, you know, born a rascal, so don't worry about that. Alright? Okay, no vex, no beside the abuse, just talk my own. Alright? What I'm saying is that it's his natural behavior. You know what I mean? You know, some guys who are just tough, they like to quarrel, box people. Don't worry about that. But that the man is not the prophet, let nobody deceive you. He is. You hear what I said? And one of the proofs that the man is a prophet is that there's no government in Nigeria that has started preaching, he hasn't spoken, and they can't do him anything. One day, they arrested the man, SSS. After quizzing him the whole day, into the night, finally the SS man said, okay, man of God, I'm going to sleep, I'm leaving. In the back, I said, sleep. If you find sleep, I'm not a man of God. Sleep. Go and sleep now. Go to the bed, go and lie down. So if you find sleep, I am not a man of God. Maybe you call me pastor just now. Okay, good. Go home now. Go and lie down. If sleep comes to your eyes, then know that I'm not caught by God. No, look. When Obasanjo was president, this man will preach on TV. And even me, I will be afraid. Me, where I'll not be the one to the preacher. And if you go and check, you hear that the vision that Isaiah saw, or Haggai saw, in the days of, they begin to name the kings. 1, 2, 3, 4. That is this prophet. They always outlast the kings. Don't worry. They always outlast the kings. That's how you know them. The man is a true prophet. I believe him. I'm bringing an issue here. And the man makes that statement that time. He said, if this man tells me he's not a member of Ogun Teshi, forget it. Let him come and say publicly now. Listen, there are people in this our country that think indeed they control people. They control the nation. They think so. They really are not in control. But that's what they think because God gave them power for a long time. And listen, God always does something after a while. When he has given you power for a while, he will judge you terribly. And he does that. He said, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, don't worry. They will do this. Then I will now return. I will now pour my judgment upon them. You only want the time to favor the people of God comes. God begins to pour judgment upon those who thought they were in power. Someone was telling me about a neighboring state somewhere around here that the state is ruled by court people, that they share the money before it arrives. If you are from that state, you need to do something this evening. We're all from Nigeria, we'll do something. We'll call God again and say, Lord, you are the greatest. No court in Nigeria is the greatest. A very simple prayer, is it not? Yeah, and as you are declaring, let me just say something. As you are until you say it, they will reign. Do you get my point? So let's begin to pray for our country again. Say, let's declare. Say, Lord, you are the greatest. Declare, say, you are the greatest one. You are the most high. You are above every court, every God, every other God. He said, the kingdom of this nation is the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that this kingdom is the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And we say he will reign forever and ever. Listen to this. I wanted to pray this prayer. David taught us to pray like this. He said, break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until thou dost find none. He said, the Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his hand, from his land. I want to understand that. This was David teaching us to pray. He was speaking. He said, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand. That's in Psalm 10. Do not forget the afflicted. Why have the wicked spurned God? He has said to himself, thou would not require it. Thou hast not seen it. He said, thou hast seen it, for thou hast beheld mischief and vexation to take it into thy hand. The unfortunate commits himself to thee. Thou hast been the helper of the orphan. In verse 15, he says, break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until thou find none. He said, the Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his land. I want to do something. Because we talk about the power of wicked people. It's a very simple prayer, you know. We can pray in tongues if you like, it's fine. But this is very simple. There are men who like to hold us in bondage. You know, there are those who don't want power to work because they are sending generator. That people that God called the wicked. You want that to come to an end, it's very simple. Let us pray the prayer. Open your Bible there so you can use it. I will give you about 2 minutes to pray that prayer. Psalm 10. It's just verse 15 and verse 16. You read it, say, break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Anywhere where men have gathered to hold a whole state in bondage, a whole local government, a whole nation, that they say, no, we will preside over this so that we might eat all the fruit of the land, and that men will not prosper. You see something, if you go and read that Isaiah chapter 59, he said, the Lord saw it and he was displeased. We'll read that in a moment. There are things that men do and God is displeased. And this is what we do. We execute judgment on his behalf. How do we do that? By making declarations. Jeremiah said to Sariah, he said, go and read all these things over Babylon. He said, when you finish reading, he said, tie it, throw it to the bottom of the Euphrates. And say, thus will Babylon go down and shall not rise again. It's important. When God has spoken a word, we repeat what he has said, then we release his hands to do things on the earth. Therefore, open your Bible to that Psalm 10, verse 15. And declare, say, break the arm of the wicked, now you are praying. And the evildoer, seek out his wickedness, until thou dost hide none. He said, the Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his hand, from his land. Speaking to declare, he said, Lord, everyone who will hold us in bondage, because of his own selfish interest, so that the whole nation will not go forward. Men who will hold state in bondage, because of their own selfish interest, that the whole state will not move forward. He said, Lord, break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until thou dost find none. Say, Lord, you are king forever and ever, and nations are perished from your land. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, uproot the hands of wickedness. The Bible says that why do the hidden rage and the people imagine a vain thing? There are men who have imagined, listen, anything that will prevent the establishment of the righteousness of God in the nation is the imagination of wicked people. He said, why did the hidden rage and the people devise a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed. They have said, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their curse from us. He said, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord curse at them. The Lord curse at these people and break the power of wickedness in this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you an encouraging word. Listen to this. Please listen to this. So that you know we are serving the true God. You know, I said something before. Anytime I say it sounds funny. You know, people are always talking, Dubai, 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 UAE, UAE, Emirates, Emirates. I don't know how I look at it. I said, this place is desert. Desert thou art, to desert thou shalt return. I said, Pastor Mark, why do you say so? I said, because the Bible says, why did the heathen rage, the nations, why are they imagining a vain thing? Why? Against who? He said, against the Lord and against his anointed. The church of Christ is God's anointed. Did you hear what I said? Yes, it is God's anointed. One man, before he married a 13-year-old girl, he first went to collect money from somewhere to establish a judicial system in Nigeria that we did not know before. Where did the money come from? We all know. When men settle down, gather, and use God's resources on the earth to fight the church of Christ. Listen. God looked at Paul and said, why are you kicking against the pricks? That is why this is my declaration. If the men continue sponsoring activities against the establishment of the gospel of God on this earth, go and tell the Arabs that this land people are bragging about, desert it was, to desert it shall return. Listen, it's a matter of fact. Buja Arab, the world's only 7-star hotel. I said, good enough they built it in the center of the sea. It has a good place to tumble into. He said, the vision of Sheikh Muqtab, whatever. Listen, that's human vision. God's judgment. He said, thus will Babylon go down and shall not rise again. Oh, hey, Muslims are plotting this. Anytime I hear it, I laugh. You know why I laugh? Because I hear I'm the echo of God's laughter in heaven. I don't know what I hear what I say. You say, the Muslims, they're trying to take over. I say, take over what? They have the money. It is not by money. It is God that changes seasons. Money does not change seasons. God changes seasons. He establishes kings. He removes kings. He wipes off nations. He said nations have perished from his land. The earth is the Lord's. They have perished from...
Somebody said, he said, Nigeria is in trouble because Muslims are doing what? Are doing what?
He said, why do the nations read? You know what I'm saying? Why are they imagining what? Imagining what? That is empty things. That is all the plans and the imaginations are what? They are empty. Why are they empty? Because they are conspiring against the Lord and against his anointed. Let's declare again. Say, God, every man conspiring against your church, every man conspiring against the body of Christ in this nation, Lord, uproot them, destroy them in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a very simple prayer. Everyone who will conspire against the body of Christ in this nation, say, Lord, uproot them. He said, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. Say, Lord, everyone who will not kiss the son, we declare that they will perish out of the way. In the name of Jesus Christ. God has said to the church, he said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Listen, let me tell you something. How many people know this man? What's his name? The pastor of the largest church in Europe. The Ukrainian man, Adelaja. Yes. Adelaja gave his life to Christ and got his scholarship. Scholarship was given by communists. What did I say? Who did I say? Communists. People preaching that there is no God. That was what took him to Ukraine. A communist scholarship. At the end of the day, he went to Ukraine and founded the largest church in Europe, having been trained by communist money. Strangers will build your walls. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, people say that Muslims, they are building university. If they give you scholarship, take. Do you hear what I said? Are you afraid? If they give you scholarship to go to Islamic university, go and study physics. No, be physics. Go and study. The earth is the Lord. Use that oil money to study physics. It won't make you a Muslim. Believe me, it won't. Oh, I wish people would understand what I'm saying. People say, I know. If it is me. It's like during the Ileya festival. And they chop me too. I follow you, Gomos. We bow down together. Bring the meat. I boil it. Once I receive with thanksgiving, whatever you said upon it has been converted to blessing. I can prove it to you. He said, Balaam, God said it. Balaam came to curse you. I turned this curse to a blessing because I love you. That's what God has to do. Love. As long as I not follow you to mosque, bow down before anything together. Can I meat? Nothing spoil. Bring them. Bring them. I will eat. I will eat and give thanks to God. I'm telling you, it's meat. It's food. F-U-D. Food. That's a joke. It's food. If your faith can carry, don't worry. Just bring it to me. My faith can carry. Look, all the usuya you buy, I think they do it on it before they cut the Allahu Akbar. Have you died? Have you become a Muslim? Okay, from Christian, I say, Pastor, are you serious? I want suya again. That's your problem. I can't make suya. Why should I make suya? God has given everybody a job. There are those who have the skill for making suya. You make it, I eat it. My job is to work. At Islam. Communist educated Adelaja. He became the pastor of the largest church in Europe. Why? Because the earth is the Lord. So if you drink oil, say, okay, I'm going to make your children Muslims, nothing spoiled. Once an adult, I'm not going to send children, me, I'll be adult. Offer scholarship, I go take. I will go there. She won't force me to go to mosque. When I'm shouting, Allahu Akbar, I'll be mumbling under my breath, Jesus Christ is Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm not going to study Islamic studies. Say it is physics. It is engineering. No scholarship. What is what? Strangers will nurse your children. That's what it means. Don't be afraid. People are too afraid of things that Bible calls what? Vanity. Vain things. They say Islam is taking over the world. They can't. You know why? We read the summary in Revelation. He said, the angel blew and then I heard the kingdom of the world. You understand? If you read King James, I like King James, said the kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And it shall reign forever and ever. What am I saying? Don't be afraid. Did I hear an amen? Because indeed, Jesus is Lord. Did I hear that? Say it. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is indeed Lord. And he's reigning over all the earth. He said, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Let's declare it again. Every nation, every people that will gather against the Lord and against his anointed in Nigeria, we declare that they are uprooted in the name of Jesus Christ. Declare it. Declare it. Say any morning they gather against the church of God, against the Lord, will only be used to nurse his children. Main brothers. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Because of time, please, I want us to just, let's not forget, I want us to pray. Look, praying correct prayer is very easy. A lot of people are confused about prayer. They think that you have to go and invent words. Oh, thou God, that somambulated and sagaculated against all his enemies. It's not just a God that kills all his enemies. It's a very simple word. You want to dig out, if you want to look for hard words to use, just carry a Bible ahead of time, underline the ones you want to use. And say, God, let me read some powerful words for you. You bring it up and you read it. Otherwise, just speak from the bottom of your heart and speak in sincerity. And the Lord will hear that. Are you getting my point? Therefore, let us pray in sincerity for our government. It's simple. Electoral reform is good. I hear an amen. Let me read it something quickly. Isaiah 59. We'll read that and then we're out of here. Now listen to this. Let me just rush through it. It was talking about wickedness. He said, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now these are the problems. Your hands are filled with blood, fingers filled with iniquity, lips spoken, falsehood, tongues mutter wickedness. No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. This is like Nigeria, isn't it? There's one particular former governor in this country, I will not mention his name. Somebody told me that if I heard it, the same man that gave one man $15 million, he said that the lawyers and the judges in this country, they hate him. You know why? Because the man has made a mess of the judiciary. They carry 500 million naira to bribe one man. Abba, you need Jesus Christ to be inside you to resist that temptation. No, just move case from here. Go here. Give the judge 500 mil. No, they call 500 million. You know what they call 500 million naira? I'll tell you. It's 1 million naira 500 times. Are you getting my point? So that judgment has become a joke. The Bible says that a bribe, it prevents the judge from seeing properly and reasoning correctly. The Lord was angry with that man because of the amount of temptation he considered himself to in the hands of those, that is before those who are supposed to be executing judgment. So what happened at the end of the day is that men began to sue. He said, no one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. Start adjourning. You know, that's what they call confusion. You want to arraign a man, cause workers to go on strike that day. It's called confusion. You know what happened recently? supposed to put a man on trial. The day they brought him to court, judicial worker said that we're on strike. Why? Because what? Confusion. Ah, no, there is a set of business issues in Nigeria. One of the reasons why Zin keeps on having epileptic problem is because there was a confusion at the beginning that they have not yet solved, I think. People are trying to agree on something, just adjourning and adjourning cases. That's what the Bible calls trusting in confusion and speaking lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. He said, they hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their egg dies, and from that which is crushed, a snake breaks forth. Let me just rush down. He said, therefore, verse 9, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. He said, for our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Now, I'm trying to jump now. He said, and verse 14 says, and justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar, for truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. We register 1 million voters, but count 6.5 million votes. Truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. This is where I'm going. The Bible said, now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. I just want to end it there. The Lord saw, and it was displeasing. If you think God is happy about what goes on in the country, you are joking. He said, the Lord saw, and it was what? Displeasing in his sight. I want us to pray a prayer. Me, I have my issues. My primary issue with Nigeria is lawlessness and lack of justice. That's my primary issue. Lawlessness. Without law. Every man doing as it seems good in his eyes. That's my own primary issue. Lawlessness. But let's pray a prayer for our president, the current one. Simple. Say, Lord, this is my own prayer. I can add your own to it. Lord, give him wisdom. Give him strength to establish justice and order in this nation. I think it's very simple. Electoral reform is good. Amen? I just proved it to you that when people start registering 2 million voters and counting 6 million votes, the Lord will see it and he will be what? Displeased. So it is right, therefore, to pray for electoral reform. And doesn't need plenty English. Say, Lord, let there be reform in our electoral system. Let there be reform in our judicial system. Let it be that a policeman will be afraid to arrest a man who has done nothing because he will have to pay for it. It's simple. That's what the Bible calls justice. That's what the Bible calls truth. Therefore, let's pray for wisdom. Say, Lord, we have a new president. Say, Lord, you change the former one for a new one. And listen to this. Anytime God replaces a president, I don't mean to speak evil of the dead. I'm not saying anything. Like my wife used to say about the president who has died. That what did he do, sir? Every time I said, did he do anything bad? I said, no, the man didn't do anything bad. Everything he did was either good or nothing. He didn't used to do bad. But there are many things he did not do. And Sunday Bakari always warned that any president in Nigeria, there are things he must do. And I believe the reason why his sickness overtook him so fast was because there were things he was supposed to do and he neglected to do. And if Jonathan wants to last, he had better do them. That's a matter of fact. That's why, listen, let me, before you enter office, stop making agreement with people. When I reach there, I will do it like this. Because sometimes those agreements are against the things that God said you should do when you get there. So you go and sign an agreement that will end your tenure, end your life, just disgrace you anyhow. If God can't make you a leader, a president, forget it. You don't have to be. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. But when God removes a king, it is because he has neglected to do something. That's a matter of fact. So let's pray at this point. Let us pray for the current president. Say, Lord, let the purpose for which you have established him, let him have the strength to fulfill it. It's a very simple prayer. My own personal issue is with justice. Say, let justice come up again in this land. It's a very simple prayer. Say, Lord, give him wisdom for electoral reform. If we want to do election, let us do election, not selection. You know, they tell me that they agree that the presidency go to the north. I have no problem with the presidency going to the north. My problem is who agreed. I'll tell you those who agreed. Men who felt they have the power, but they don't have it. I cannot speak specifically at this point, but we can pray one prayer. Say, Lord, we have a new president. There's a reason you have brought him for such a time as this. We ask that that purpose will be established. Give him strength, surround him with the right people. All doers of iniquity that will gather so as to scuttle your plan that you have for him and for this nation. We ask that they be broken now in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, do it in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, do this in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, do this in the name of Jesus. Lord, establish us in liberty. Establish liberty in this nation. Freedom, justice, truth, fear of God. Uphold the law. Let order be our portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's begin to give the Lord time. Because we, you know, we have taken a lot of time. So let us close. Let's begin to give the Lord. Say, Father, we thank you for today. We'll continue next time. Say, Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks because you are good. We give you thanks because you are our God. We give you thanks because you are our King. Lord, we thank you. It is well in the name of Jesus. We declare, thank you. It is well with our souls. It is well with this nation. It is well with us. We declare in the name of Jesus. We give you the thanks. We give you thanks. We give you the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you everything, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just give him thanks. The Lord is well with this nation. Let's just say, in the name of Jesus, let's declare. It's in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
I declare that is well with Nigeria. In the name of Jesus Christ,
I declare
that is well with our president.
I
declare that wisdom is his portion.
Courage is his portion.
Strength to do the will of God is his portion. Say, here, good luck, Jonathan. President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
President of the Republic of Nigeria.
You will execute the will of God in the name of Jesus.
Execute the will of God in the name of
Jesus. Say, you will execute the will of God in the name of Jesus Christ.
You will execute the will of God in the name of Jesus.
As long as you walk in the will of God,
as long as you walk in the will of
your enemies will collapse before you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus
Christ. Say, peace is our portion. Law and order is our portion. You will help us inherit that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, prosperity is our portion.
Prosperity is our portion.
Truth is our portion. Uninterrupted power supply is our portion. Say, hear,
Mr. President.
This is the will of God.
And
you will execute it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. You know, brother, you can imagine if you are president, you are not your own man. Are you getting what I'm saying? Can imagine people just gather like this, they are declaring what you will do. You can see you are not on your own at all. You are not on your own. But this is what we are doing as people of God. We will execute God's judgment, God's plan, God's desires upon this land in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks for today. It's been a beautiful day in your presence. I declare upon your people that surely your goodness and your mercy will follow them all the days of their lives, and they will dwell in your presence forever and ever in the name of Jesus Christ. You will bless them. You will keep them. You will show them mercy, favor. Your glory, Lord, will be upon them. Lord, as long as we continue to declare like this, you will give us our reward in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that long life is our portion.
Amen.
In this land, you said we will live in peace and in prosperity.
Amen.
Because we are praying for the good of that land.
Amen.
in the name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, peace and prosperity is your portion the rest of this week. In Jesus' name. As you travel, you will be safe. As you return, you will be protected. No evil will befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling place. In the name of Jesus Christ. Doors that were closed to you before, I declare that they will be open in the name of Jesus. Where you had confusion, I declare clarity is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Progress is your portion. Light is your portion. Confusion is not your own. Failure is not your own. Premature death is not your own. Sickness is not your portion. But glory and triumph in Christ Jesus is what is yours. In the name of Jesus Christ.